Hey there, podcast listeners. Welcome to a new episode of Field Days, an award-winning podcast about news and hot topics related to the Michigan Department of Corrections. Here are your almost witty hosts, Chris Gouts and Greg Straub.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode of Field Days podcast. I'm Greg Straub, joined as always by the department spokesperson, Chris Gouts. Chris, we have part two of our two-part series with David Chinsky. And, you know, I'm excited for today because it kind of touches on a lot of the work that, you know, the FOA has been doing, and that is working remote and working with details from home. I know last episode talked a lot about, you know, kind of our staff that haven't had the option to work remote and talked about self-care and what they can do to take care of themselves, that environment. But today's a little different. We're gonna talk about some of our staff who are detailed from home and kind of some of the struggles and kind of the things that we can do to help them working remotely. As you know, as we do our podcast here, Chris, we do these virtually and we do them through MS Teams, and, you know, MS Teams and Zoom and, you know, all these virtual platforms have really sprouted up over the last year for people who do work remote. And, you know, there's some pros and cons to all this, you know, on these meetings virtually. And David is going to provide some very helpful hints. So, Chris, you are not inappropriate on virtual meetings anymore. Okay.
One of his best tips is, you know, to keep camera on and have it, you know, good lighting and be set up correctly. What I love about our podcast recordings is you have your camera off. And so I appreciate, you know, not having to look at you. So we're breaking one of David's rules, but going forward, I think there's some great advice in there for everyone to take away. So I hope everybody enjoys this episode.
You know, Chris, before we get to that, though, speaking of remote workers, you know, we were originally scheduled to look at going back to the office on March 1st. And I know the governor put out a notification a couple weeks ago where she extended that until May 1st now. So for anyone who was wondering if March 1st date, which is, you know, less than a month away now, if we're going back, the governor did put out information that says the date has changed to May 1st, and they'll assess all that during that time, and either we'll go back or it'll be extended. But the current date right now is May 1st, Chris, so I wanted to make sure that you knew that so you're not back in the office and driving to Lansing on March 1st, okay?
Thank you. No, I was well aware of that, but I appreciate the shout out.
Yeah. So let's get to David and get some tips on working remote. Yeah, David, I kind of wanted to touch on some things. There are quite a few, you know, new ways of doing things. I would love to talk about some of these new technologies that we have to use. Obviously, you said you're doing classes now virtually, so you're doing them
yes.
Zoom or Teams or
yes,
somehow electronically. You know, I've been remote for, like Chris said, almost a year, and every meeting I have had since March 13th of last year is staring at a computer from my house. So there's all kinds of different ways. I've seen bloopers. I've seen funny things of Zoom calls where people are doing inappropriate things or not dressed appropriately, or their kids are walking in the background. Can you talk about some of these new technologies and kind of maybe some etiquette on how to use them? Because this touches on everybody. If you're a remote worker from home, you're using these technologies. If you're working at a facility and you have to have meetings with people, you're using these technologies. So talk about some of the etiquettes around virtual meetings.
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't think this is going to go away, quite frankly. I think one of the things we're learning is that we can be much more efficient in using some of these technologies. There are no catering costs. There are no travel costs, right? We don't waste time getting from where we are to a training. I know that some of the people I've trained in the Michigan Department of Corrections often would travel 10 hours one way to come to my class in Lansing, one way. That's a huge commitment and a huge loss of productivity. So, you know, I think we're getting a little more comfortable with being on Zoom or being on Teams. And there are certainly some things that we want to be aware of from an etiquette standpoint when we are collaborating in these new ways. One is that we want to turn our camera on. And I don't know what expectations you've set for your people. I know that when I do a training, I ask everyone to turn on their camera so that they're more engaged. I can be more engaged because for me, I'm so used to being in a classroom and building off of the energy of my students in the classroom that without seeing them on Zoom, it's harder for me to have the energy and the engagement. So it's really important to engage fully if you're going to be participating in a Zoom-based or a Teams-based meeting. It's also important to sit as close to the screen as you can with your face filling most of the screen. Using some kind of external microphone or headset can also be very helpful. And you can get a lot of these for not a lot of money, and they improve the quality of your sound appreciably. When you're not talking, it's always advisable to hit mute. And that way, anything in the background. So, for example, I have a dog and I'm surprised you haven't heard her while we've been talking, because sometimes she'll want to jump onto my lap, or someone will come to the door, FedEx or UPS, and she'll go off on a barking fit. So if you're on mute, then those noises aren't heard by anyone else. Now, obviously, it's also important to take yourself off mute when it's time to talk. Often in a virtual setting, someone will be on mute and then they want to start talking, and they do start talking and they're on mute. When you are on mute, though, on a video call, you know, be present, like be engaged, nod your head, listen, focus on the other people in the room. Don't get up to feed your dog. So stay in the room, stay in front of your camera so that, again, you're paying attention and people can sense that you are paying attention. When you're talking, try and look at the camera, not the screen. And this is very, very difficult to do for most people. So I wouldn't get hung up on it, although occasionally you might look up into the camera, because then you're looking right at the people who are on the other side of the screen. Although sometimes if it's easier to look at the people on your screen, if you're in gallery mode, you can see everybody. You may have to go to another screen or two to catch everybody, depending on the number of people. Although it's okay to look around, just know that when you're looking at the screen, the other people are seeing you look down as opposed to straight ahead. And finally, when you're talking, I would suggest that you speak more slowly than you're used to, perhaps, and speak clearly, so that if there's any delay in the transmission, people don't lose what you're saying. And be considerate of others. Be brief. Don't go on and on and on and on. People are going to let you have a turn, so you want to let other people have a turn as well. It's also important to try and eat before or after your virtual meeting, not during it. People don't necessarily want to see you chowing down on something. You know, just imagine people coming to your office for a meeting or to a conference room for a meeting and, you know, bringing their lunch or their dinner or their breakfast. It can be a bit distracting. Now, it's okay to bring something to drink. So I've got actually a cup of tea with me right now. It's just really basic etiquette and making sure that we just know that this is a different vehicle. And so it does require that we make some changes. And again, that's where the growth mindset comes in. We can't do it the same way we do other things. We have to be more engaged. And if you're leading a meeting on Teams or Zoom, know that you have to stop more frequently and see what questions people have. Encourage people to ask questions, put questions in the Q&A, chat, if there's a chat box open, so that people feel even more engaged in the conversation. So that's what I would say are some of the key elements of etiquette for video meetings.
Those are all good tips. I think the most used phrase of 2020 was, you're on mute.
Yes.
I swear I've heard that a million times over the last year. I've said it probably 500,000 times. It's funny how things just become, you know, social distancing. That's a new term for 2020, and you're on mute. So those are all great tips. So, you know, David, we kind of focused upfront on the wonderful, you know, just really dedicated and passionate staff that we have that are still working from, you know, wherever they were working, either facilities or in an office. They're not working remote. So I kind of wanted to, first, again, say thank you, because you bring up good points. We should be very thankful and appreciative of people who are doing that. And, you know, we can't thank our wonderful staff enough, you know, stepped up and worked in the face of this pandemic. So first off, thank you very much. And David, I appreciate you saying that. But I want to...
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, and I want to transition now to kind of the remote workers. You know, it's a smaller percentage, but there's still a lot of remote workers that we have working for the Department of Corrections. And, you know, they're at home and they have their children at home who are doing homeschooling or remote learning. That's a difficulty. They have maybe a spouse who is also at home remote working. And it's just, you know, it can be a different challenge than working inside a facility right now. Everything brings a different challenge. And I kind of want to transition to those staff now. And can you talk about some of the advantages of working remote, and but also focus on some of the challenges so we can help staff with some tips and techniques on how to get past this?
So there are some real advantages to working from home. Some people say that there's greater satisfaction, that they have a better work-life balance. So even though the expectations certainly remain high in terms of the work that needs to get done, there are a lot less distractions when we're working at home. And so many of us, I count myself in this category because I am working from home, actually have found that there is more time in the day, right? Obviously, I don't have the commute, which is an appreciable savings of time. And I don't have people necessarily coming into my office or interrupting me with this or with that. And so one of the advantages is being able to, you know, create more of that balance and being able to, you know, create the space to do some of the things maybe that you've never gotten around to because you never had the time to do it. So in some respects, we have greater control over our work. We have the ability maybe to make our own lunch in the kitchen if we so choose to do so. And obviously, there's greater autonomy. We are often left to make more of those day-to-day decisions. So those are all very positive. And I think one of the biggest byproducts for organizations coming out of this experience, and I know we're still in it, although when we get out of it, I think we're going to look back and say, you know, we shouldn't have been so negative on telecommuting and on people working from home. I think that there was a stigma often associated with this practice of letting people work from home because there was almost a lack of trust that they would be productive and that they would be working for us as opposed to doing their laundry or doing home repair projects, whatever the fear might be. What we're coming out of this learning is that we can trust people to do their work. People are not asking to work at home so that they can take naps during the day and catch up with their household chores. As I said a few moments ago, I actually think people can be more productive and often are more productive when they're at home. So those are some of the benefits that I see from working at home. Now, with those benefits obviously come some challenges. There's less face-to-face supervision, right? We tend to have less access to support from our managers. We don't have as much formal communication. We may not have access to the information we need. All we had to do maybe when we were working in the office is just go next door and ask somebody something and we got it and then we could continue with our work. So sometimes we don't have access to all of the resources and tools. So that could potentially slow us down a bit. There can also be this feeling of social isolation and loneliness because the structure of the office and the availability of our coworkers, some of which, or maybe most of which, are our friends, gives us a sense of fulfillment and a sense of belonging. And when we are working at home, that goes away. And so that's why it's so important to have a routine and to know when you're going to work, when you're going to stop working, and to have some kind of a schedule. And I would also say that the distractions that we referred to earlier can get in the way. Whether it's a significant other, whether it's having a child who is at home because they aren't able to go to school and they're doing their learning over the computer, they want more attention, they want more time. So when we're in the office, we're used to just focusing on our job, other than maybe having occasional thoughts about our family and what goes on at home. When we're at home, though, it's hard to avoid the natural interruptions and distractions. And sometimes we want to be interrupted. We want to be there. We want to lend that extra support. I would say those are the benefits and the challenges. And if you're interested, I'd be happy to talk about some ways that managers can support remote employees. I don't know if that was a question you were going to ask.
Well, it is, because I was just going to say, I found it difficult to do that, to support all of the staff being remote. It's not, you know, you can't just walk across the hall and say, how are you doing today? What do you need? You get lost in your remote work and you're kind of out of sight, out of mind thing. And it has been difficult. So I would love to hear some of your tips on how, you know, managers can support their staff.
The first would be to make sure that you do check in with some frequency, right? Mm-hmm. So if you are managing people that are not in the office, create some structure. So try to replace the structure of the office with some structure in terms of, you know, I'm going to be checking in with you once a week or at the end of every day, and articulate that schedule so that people understand that they can count on that. Perhaps provide a choice of communication technology options, right? So some people might like to talk on the phone. Some people might like a Zoom meeting with their manager or a Teams meeting. Know that there are some different options. You know, maybe it's texting one another. We all have different preferences for how we like to engage with others. Have some rules of engagement, such as when it's best to reach you. So if you're my manager and I'm trying to contact you and you're never there, and it's not because you're not working, it's just because you're doing other things. If I know what the best time of the day might be to get in touch with you, if you think of office hours, right, where there's a certain block of time, maybe in the morning, in the afternoon, late in the day, where you've kind of reserved as a manager to be available for emails or calls or texts. So just create some set of expectations around how they can interact with you. If you can, provide opportunities for social interaction amongst the people that you manage who are now working at home, like bringing them together virtually. You know, just as an idea, maybe having a virtual pizza party, you know, checking in on how people are feeling, because that is, I think, where managers are perhaps being asked to play an increased role. When we're in the office, we don't necessarily focus as much on how you're feeling. Although we know that people are feeling a lot of different things right now. They're isolated. They're afraid. They're anxious. Their world is being turned upside down. They don't know when it's going to go back to normal, in quote marks. I'm putting normal in quote marks. Being there to bring people together and to let people share what's going on with them. To the extent that I hear you say that you're a little anxious and I say, oh yeah, I am too, that creates more of a bond on our team because we know that we're all kind of experiencing similar challenges and that we're going to get over it. And maybe I tell you something I'm doing to deal with that. And maybe you tell me something you're doing. So this is something that managers can facilitate. They can create the space for those kinds of interactions. So anything that we as managers can do to offer encouragement and support, over communicate with people that are working at home, know that they can reach out to you and share progress with everyone. Let people know the successes that are being attained by the team, because that's also harder to see when everyone is working remotely. When you're in the office, it's easier to celebrate some of the goal accomplishments and some of the successes and some of the insights. So the managerial role has adapted and evolved in part as a conduit for bringing this information to everyone, because it's so much harder to get it on your own.
Those are all really good tips, David. And thankfully, you know, Joelle's on mute, so she can't tell you how good of a supervisor I've been remotely. and I don't know how Greg ended up managing people, but I'd love to hear their thoughts. But I was wanting to go back just real quickly for those who are working from home for years. I think with some of your help, you know, we've been stressing from the top down about the importance of work-life balance. And so what do you do when both your work and your life are at home? And how do you handle the stress, you know, of, or maybe the feeling of guilt that an employee might have where, you know, their spouse is used to them being at work and all of a sudden they're home all day long. But then, yes, you know, they come home and they're like, well, why aren't the dishes done? Why isn't the laundry done? Like, you've been home all day. And how do you help people understand that you might be physically at home, but you are doing work? And when does that work day end? Because for all of us who are working from home, we can certainly do that. And, you know, and I know in Greg and I's case, and certainly Joelle, we're working 7 days a week and we're working well into the late evening hours, sometimes early morning hours, multiple times a week. How do you handle that balance when everything is here?
Well, I think it starts with open communication with the people that you live with, right? So, you know, if it's partners, significant others, I think it's just a recognition that there are some new stresses and that we each might need the support of the other in some new ways. I know that one of the things that I do a lot more these days, often at least once or twice a day, actually, is, you know, I will do the dishes after we eat. And, you know, that's something that I often didn't do because I might have gone back to work. My significant other and I have a great relationship. And so we understand what each of us are about. And yet I don't want to miss the opportunity to acknowledge that my significant other is under stress as well. If it's a true partnership that we seek in our in any relationship, there has to be an open discussion around, you know, what are some of the changes that you would like to see? And let me tell you some of the changes I would like to see. So, you know, that's something that I think we owe each other, because if not, it's easy kind of to drift apart, or for people to take it inside themselves and to be angry with their partner because they think they don't care, or they're taking for granted that it's still okay to not chip in and to do some of those things. So I think one of the things that has happened probably for many that are working at home is that there's been a more natural progression to more shared responsibilities in the home. And I think where that hasn't happened, there might be some issues. And again, I think those issues can be solved and even avoided, prevented by having some open communication. Now, there also have to be some ground rules. You know, it's hard, depending on the age of a child, to say, you know, get out of my face, get out of my office, can't you see I'm working? Because they don't really understand that. And if you really think about saying those words, you probably check yourself and say, how can I possibly mean that? This is my child. And so there just have to be some ground rules, right? So if I'm going to be on a podcast or on an important call, there's an understanding that we need to make sure that there's not a lot of noise in the house. You know, someone has to manage the dog so that if the dog does go off on some long-term barking tirade, that someone stops the dog. And then the other thing is just having this routine that I alluded to previously. It's really important to have a routine so that you can manage the difference between the time you're going to spend on your work and the time you're going to spend at home. And this can be very hard for people that work at home. I think when I started my business 20 years ago, started working out of my home office, that was the hardest thing for me to regulate because there was no office structure in the traditional sense. So I would find that I was working all the time. And I really had to pull back and realize that there were other things that were important to me. Not I had to. I wanted to spend time with my significant other. I wanted to spend time with my children. I wanted to spend time with my neighbors, with my friends, with my community. And again, it comes back to choice. So for me, having a routine that serves as some set of guardrails around how you're going to spend your time, particularly given that it's a change for us, right? So if this is new to us, it's new territory. And so we have to expect there are going to be some challenges, and then we have to make sure that we're taking the time to communicate with others so that we get what we need and they get what they need.
I know, obviously, you know, taking your courses and watching, you know, what you do, I know you look a lot at personality types, and I'm wondering how you see the stresses and the coping between introverts and extroverts when it comes to being at home. And a lot of people might be just fine making this the way it is until retirement, and other people have to be back yesterday. You know, they have to be around people. How have you seen that come together?
You know, extroverts who tend to be more type A, people who are anxious to get things done and they don't want to waste time, they are often going to be the individuals who speak more loudly about what they want and what's important to them. And they might actually end up trampling from time to time on other people who might be more reserved in their communication. So I think that people who are less patient, maybe by design. So, you know, someone who is extroverted often tends to want to get things done more quickly. They're less patient. And I don't say that in a negative way. It's okay to want to get things done. Where it can harm a relationship is when we don't acknowledge that not everyone is like us, and that the introvert might actually have some really strong feelings about something and might still be thinking about how to express them, or might be afraid to express them. And so that's why communication is so important, and developing the safe space to have those conversations and to ask people who might be more introverted, you know, what are you thinking? You know, what are you feeling? How is this impacting you? The extrovert is probably going to tell you before you ask what the issues are and what their frustrations are. The introverts will keep more of it inside. And so it's actually, from a mental health standpoint, more dangerous to keep it inside. We know that when you have someone that you can share your concerns with, your anxieties with, you tend to be able to deal with them more effectively. So I think just acknowledging the differences, like you just did, in terms of knowing that there are people who tend to be more extroverted versus introverted, more type A versus more type B, more fast-paced versus more reserved in their thinking, will help create a better environment for everyone. And we just know that we might have to pull some of the feelings and the information out of the introvert more so than the extrovert, because again, the extrovert will likely just tell us what they think. Certainly as a manager and certainly as just a colleague, if we sense that someone is an introvert, then you know, we may know because we know what they've tested out as, or we may not know, and we may just be able to deduce that from the way they act. If we do sense that they're more of an introvert, then we just need to be more patient. And we need to take the time to listen to them and to ask them more open-ended questions and to avoid dominating the conversation with all of our thoughts, because that will shut an introvert down even more if the extrovert doesn't realize that they need to ask more questions and maybe not even lead with what they think. If you know that you're working with someone who is less likely to share their ideas, the worst thing that we can do is just tell them what we think and then ask them what they think, because then they're going to say, oh yeah, I agree with you completely, because they just aren't likely to push back.
That makes total sense. And I really appreciate that. And just from everything that, you know, you've shared with for our staff that are working still in the facilities and doing an awesome job, and the staff who are learning how to do this remotely, not only you're just doing it remotely, but had to learn an entirely new way of working. You know, as Greg can attest, you know, our field staff didn't have an office to go to. They didn't have people in an office where parolees were reporting to. They had to completely redo everything they do, from drug tests to everything. And then on top of that, handle all of the stress of the pandemic and then learning how to do all these remote meetings and all this work when they don't have their office and their printer and all those kind of things. It's just been a lot of stress. And I think this is going to really help a lot of our employees. So I really, really do appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today and about both of these areas. And I think it's really going to help our employees try to think about this in a new way and hopefully adapt and take on some of your tools here that you provided to our staff, the 4 M's, and all the things that you raised with us today. So I really, really appreciate you coming back on and sharing with our staff.
Yeah, David, I do too. I think what you said validates a lot of people's feelings right now. I think, you know, people have been feeling this way, and it's okay. It's okay to feel this way. It's expected to feel this way. And I think, you know, you kind of validated that it's okay. And that these feelings that they're having, that they may be having, are normal, and it's, you know, it happens. So I agree. I thought today was super informational and helpful. And you know, you're always a great guest to have on. We appreciate you so much and the work that you do. So thank you very much for coming on Field Days.
Thank you so much, Greg and Chris and Joel. It was a pleasure being with you, and I look forward to getting back either in the classroom or virtually with more of the MDOC family.
Well, I found that extremely helpful, Chris. I don't know, you know, it has been a change. It is different from, you know, sitting around a conference room table or, you know, around people when that's what we're used to in meetings, and, you know, to move away from all that and just look at people in a square, like the Brady Bunch kind of, beginning of the Brady Bunch where everybody's in a square, I think has changed. And I think it's made us actually more efficient. And I think staff are getting used to it. And I think David provided some really helpful hints, and I hope it helped you out, Chris. I don't know if it did or not.
It did. You know, it's funny because I was just at one of our facilities a few weeks ago where a prisoner that had a lot of notoriety and a lot of media attention was there. And I ran into a reporter who I'd only been talking to on Zoom for the last year. And I told her that I wasn't sure it was her because her face wasn't surrounded by a rectangle. And so it was good to see and be around other humans for even a brief time. But David had some great advice, and I hope people take that to heart and utilize that in their daily lives with work going forward. And hopefully, in the not-too-distant future, we will be back to our office in a regular way.
I appreciate David coming on and taking some time. I think, you know, David's always a great guest, and we appreciate him a lot for all the work that he's done and all the work that he continues to do for us. So appreciate it. Thank you, David. And stay tuned to a new episode of Field Days Podcast.
All right. As always, thank you for listening. We'd love it if you would help us spread the word about the podcast. You can do that by subscribing to the show on iTunes and leave us a review.
You can always follow the department on Facebook at MI Corrections and on Twitter at Michigan DOC, as well as the FOA account at MDOC FOA and the CFA account at MDOC CFA. And you can send any questions you have to the show using the hashtag AskFieldDays. Until next time, thanks for tuning in to Field Days Podcast.